Good evening. It is a joy and a privilege to be here again. I always enjoy coming to Alabama and being with you brothers and sisters. Enjoy it very much. I caught myself this year even cheering for Alabama. I'm sorry they lost, but I do have a special place in my heart for each and every one of you here. I want to apologize for last night a little bit and being a little long-winded. I'll try not to keep us quite as long tonight, but I do want to bring to us some messages that I think that maybe will help us in our everyday walk of life. It's a struggle. It's a struggle for us to just survive now and live a Christian life. Because there's so many evil things around us, everywhere we look, everywhere we go, we have to be on guard and watch. So maybe I can say something that will help us tonight. I want to talk to you just a little bit about fishing. I know some of you know that I love to fish. I always have, ever since I was old enough, and Dad took me in. I really did enjoy it, and I still enjoy it. Last Saturday, in fact, I enjoyed it. I came over to Lake Martin. The weatherman said it was going to be a 20% chance of rain. I think he was way, way off because it rained all day. It was pretty cold. But anyway, I put the boat in over at Wind Creek State Park, and I fished Lake Martin till sometime in the afternoon and finally give up because it got so windy and so cold I couldn't stand it anymore. But I love to fish. Right now, the fish are pretty deep. And if you know anything about bass fishing, at certain times of the year, the fish go deep. You got to change lures. You know, sometimes in the summertime, you fish top water, or you fish crankbaits, or worms, or whatever, and you have pretty good luck. But sometimes they go deep, so you have to change. You have to change your lure. So I've got a tackle box that is full of all kind of lures. And whenever the time comes, I will change and I will try to entice these fish to get on the end of my line. And I have, over at Lake Martin, caught some pretty good-sized stripers and occasionally, and it's just a lot of fun. But what I want to compare this to, fishing, is to Satan. Satan goes fishing too. And we want to talk about that just for a few minutes here tonight. The subject that I want to speak on is that of the devil goes fishing. Now, in this lesson, I want us to take a look at some of the lures that Satan has got, some of his devices, and some of his ways that he goes about catching you and I. In Ecclesiastes 9:11-12, it says there, I returned and saw unto the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not the time, not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net. And as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Fishes that are taken in an evil net. Now, it was just a few weeks back, I can't remember the documentary that was on, but it was showing these ships that went out and caught this tilapia. And they had a huge ship, and they had a big net. And out the back of this ship, they strung this net, and the man up in the pilot's seat, I reckon you'd say he's looking at his depth finder, and he's seeing the fish, and they pulled this huge net behind the boat. And the net was so big, it would swallow 10 of these buildings. And they filled it full, and then they pulled it up into the ship, and they processed all the fish. I thought about that when I read this scripture, about how these fish really kind of pretty much were helpless to a degree that they were caught in this net. And Even when you apply it to our life, you know, we get a lot of understanding out of it, a lot of meaning out of it. I got a little man over here that looks like the devil, doesn't he? That's the way we picture the devil in our mind. You know, he's got a pitchfork, and he's running around behind, and he's poking you with that pitchfork, and he's got two horns and a pointed tail. But to be honest with you, the devil, that's not the way he is. He's not that way. The devil is not the way that we think. He doesn't have this pitchfork running around trying to prod us. In fact, the devil, many times, is a pretty good-looking fellow, isn't he? He is. He disguises himself. He, in fact, as the scriptures say in 1 Corinthians, the 2 Corinthians 11th chapter and the 14th verse, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So, we need to be careful and know and understand what he is. You know, he has his own church, or his own synagogue. Revelation 2 and 9 says, I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Yes, Satan has his own church. You know he's got his own doctrine. Satan has his own doctrine. Listen, 1 Timothy 4 and 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So, Satan has all kinds of various different means and ways of deceiving us and catching us and getting us in his net. You know, Jesus told his disciples, come and go with me and I'm going to make you fishers of men. The devil's done the same thing. He's got his disciples that are fishers of men. In 1 Peter 5 and 8, he tells us there, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Look at that, adversary. Adversary, what is it? It's our opponent. See, we're in a Christian life. It's a battle. It's just like two guys stepping into a ring to fight. You're in a tough situation, you know, and we're in a battle with our opponent, which is the devil, as we walk through life. The devil, you know, he's really not limited in his spots where he fishes. He is a very experienced fisherman. He is. He has a large area to fish all over. He's not limited to just one place. See, when we go out in the world, he's everywhere. In fact, many times, he's right here with us in the church. He has a huge area to fish. Also, he's got good equipment. He's got some of the best equipment that you can possibly have. He's got the best bait, too. He has the bait for every occasion, every need to catch you and I. So let's look at this for a little bit and study it and see if we can learn something from this fishing trip. Where does the devil fish? Where does he fish? He fishes among the righteous, among you and I, doesn't he? He doesn't fish among the sinners. The reason he doesn't fish among the sinners, he's already caught them. He's got them in the net and put them in the boat. And they're in the live well, so to speak. They're there. He's looking for you and I. Those that are trying to serve the Lord, those that are trying to do right, that's who he's looking for. He's looking for the righteous. And he doesn't have a lot of trouble catching them and keeping them sometimes. In Romans 6 and 16 it says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Servants of sin. He has no the word I'm looking for, I can't find, but he's not a respected person. He doesn't care who you are, how much learning you have in the scriptures. He's out to get us. And if we're not careful, he'll get us, because he fishes among the righteous people, the godly people. In Job 1, 6 and 11, remember the story of Job. Job was a man that, well, he was a righteous man. He had a great respect for God. He served God. But yet, Satan got after him, didn't he? Yes, he did. He got after him. And not only him, also Peter. In Luke 22 and 31, Peter said, Satan hath desire to have you. It says, and the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. So, without a doubt, we are prospects for Satan. Those that try to live righteous, those that try to do the things that are right. So, we need to be very, very careful. He looks among the young people. The young people is one of Satan's best desires, because they're the easiest to get a hold of. And to you young people, I want to say, when we go out in the world, Satan is everywhere, and he's trying to get you because of the fact that you maybe are not committed yet. And he puts things before you, and he sets it in front of you that looks so good and so wonderful. And the friend that you hang around with, they do things that look so good. Satan paints these pictures to make it look that way. It's like, I reckon you'd say the Budweiser commercials, you see. You see these Budweiser commercials on TV with those drinking beer and just having a big time partying, and that's the end thing. They're not going to show you a family that where a car and the drunk in it hit them head on and kill the family. It's not going to show you a family where that in that home the husband and wife fall and fight and split the family up and cause disruption among the children. Not going to show that. None of these things Satan's going to show you. See, he's going to paint that picture to you young people that looks so good, so enticing, and it's the type of things that make us want to be like the others, the ones we hang out with. We don't want to be odd. Just be very careful. Pay attention to what the scriptures teach, and make sure that you choose who your friends are. Make sure you choose friends that are godly friends. It's why it's so important for a Christian, when they're looking to become married and find a mate, make sure that you find one that's a Christian, one that has obeyed the gospel. It's a struggle then. We know that such a struggle it is when you don't. You have two that are at odds. The young people, he's after them because they're not committed. Don't have much experience. So he's looking hard at them, and when he gets them, he wants to keep them. Another thing is, the season that he fishes in is all season long, all year long. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the time. He doesn't take a vacation. He's not like some of us that, you know, we got a job, and when it comes 8:30, 9, around about 9:30, we want a break. Take a break, and we go drink a coffee and whatever, and then we've got to go back to work, and then about 12 o'clock, we want an hour, take off for lunch, and then kind of drag around and go home. Satan doesn't do that. Satan is wide open all the time. He's always looking for us open season. In Job 2 and 2, the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And in 1 Peter 5 and 8, he was talking about that Satan devoured. You know what devour means? That means gulp. It means gulp down, to swallow, to destroy. And that's what Satan's out to do to each and every one of us. What kind of equipment does he have? What kind of equipment does Satan have? Well, as I said, he has the very best. In 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant of his tools and his equipment that he has. I wouldn't think about going to the lake and fish a tournament and fish with some old line that was rotten and hooks that were dull and what have you. So Satan, he's the same way. He wants the best, the very best, and he has it. He has the very best devices. Devices mean scheme, the best designs. He's got it. The devil uses every means and every trick that he knows how to catch. And his hooks. His hooks are very sharp. I sit down and spend hours sometimes sharpening the hooks in the tackle box. I got a little honing stone, and I sit there and make sure that they're sharp, that when you rub it on your fingernail, it'll hang, it'll stick. So when the fish bite and I jerk, I can catch him. Same way with Satan. His hooks are sharp, double sharp. What about the teachers? In 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, I want to turn there and read 2 Corinthians 11, 13. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 and 15. Bear with me. It says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if the ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. If his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. So, we need to pay close attention to what teachers teach and look and check for ourselves. I would not want you for a minute to take my word on anything. I want you to go. That's why we're to study, to make sure that what those are teaching is correct. I had a lady one time told me, and she was a Catholic, and in our discussion, it came up about studying, and I said, well, don't you read that in your Bible? She said, oh, I don't read it. I said, tell me what? You know, you don't read your Bible? She said, no. I said, that's what we pay the priest to do. He's going to college. He's a college man, and he understands better and knows more than I do about it. That's very dangerous thinking. Very dangerous thinking. The devil, as we see the scriptures here, transformed some teachers into his teachers. So, we need to be very careful. 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 15 and 33 it says, do not be deceived, evil company corrupts good habits. American Standard Version, be not deceived, evil companionship corrupts good morals. We need to really watch out who we hang out with, again, and keep company with. Now, the scriptures are plain. It tells us that we are to prefer one another. That's why it's so important that in our lives when we do things in this world for pleasure, we're to enjoy life and do certain things. We're not restricted to just attending service. There's things that we can do, places we can go for enjoyment. But he tells us to prefer one another. I wonder why he does that. Because he knows that Satan is among those that are outside the church. And see, when we get involved with others outside the church, we, all of a sudden, these things that they're doing rub off on us. We're to be very, very careful. It says there in Acts, the 13th chapter and 10th verse, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness. So we need to make sure that those that we hang out with and those that we're around are not those that the devil is working through to lead us astray. Think about it. His disciples. He has disciples. He has teachers. He has those that he uses as instruments to catch us. They're fishermen and men also, aren't they? And they recruit others. They recruit others to help. That's one thing about sin. I want to say this. If somebody is kind of dilly-dallying with a little sin, and they get involved in sin, they don't want to do it by themselves. They want somebody else to do it with them. If you know what I'm saying, whatever it may be, if it's going somewhere that is a place they shouldn't go, they want somebody else to go. And why? Does that make them feel better? And the more that they can get to go along with them, the better off it is for them. And that's the way Satan works. See, lovers of sin, they love company. They don't want to do it by themselves. So it's very easy to get caught in that trap where that we let others influence us and for their good. Their delight is to have other sin, other Christians fall into sin. Let us go on. What kind of bait does he use? What kind of bait does Satan use? Well, he has a tackle box full, you know, he does. And this one right here, I believe, is one of the best baits that Satan can use. And that's ignorance. Oh, he wants us to be ignorant. He wants us to be no knowledge of God's Word. He doesn't want us to understand the Word of God. He wants us to be plain out ignorant to that fact. He would have us to believe that ignorance is a blessing. See, he makes us think that if we learn something, then we're going to have to do a little bit more. So he would prefer for us to be ignorant. In Hosea 4:6, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. But thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of God, I will also forget thy children." He wants us to be very forgetful. Romans 10:3, it says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Ignorance is one of the best baits that Satan can have. And he has a lot of people that bite for that. Ignorance. We're so blessed in this country with the access to God's Word. We've got it on CD. We've got it on DVD. We've got every kind of way of listening and reading God's Word. It's available to us. It's very, very easy to obtain. It's cheap. There's other places in this world where that there are those that don't have God's Word, and they beg so much for it, and they want it so bad. And it's just a shame that we actually have it and don't study it the way we should. That is what Satan is trying to do with us. He's trying to hang us on the line, this ignorance in front of us, and if we're not careful, we'll swallow it. In Romans 10:3, it says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness." Be very careful. Psalms 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." See, in our mind, it's like a big, we talked about last night, it's like a big file cabinet. And we got all these files in it. And if we leave a bunch of them vacant, then Satan's got room to put all these things that he is trying to put upon us. He's filling it up in our mind. But if we put righteousness in our mind, then there's no room in there for Satan to come along and stick in all of his garbage that he tries to feed us with. We have to be very careful. Very careful. Let's look on. What kind of bait does he use? This is one that's pretty good, isn't it? laziness. Ooh, the devil wants his people to look for the easy way out. Just do the least. Just do the least. That's all he's wanting us to do. And just partial obedience. See, the devil is trying to tell us that, you know, it's fine to do part of the scriptures. You know, you can do part of it. You do a little of it. He'll let you follow that, and he wants you to do that. He doesn't want you to do it all. He just wants you to do part of it. We have to be very careful about that. Do part to get the rest. You know, that's really, that equals out, partial obedience equals out to disobedience. And Satan knows that. He knows it. In 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than to the fat of rams." See, Saul obeyed part of the commandments, but he chose to disobey some of them. Not all of them. He didn't want to do them all. He ignored others, other parts of it. And it's easier, I reckon, just to do part of the command than it is to do all. And that results in laziness, and that's what what Satan wants. That's what Satan is looking for. The bait of laziness. Partial obedience is, in reality, disobedience. Let's look on. What about deception? Deception. You know, he makes people think that bad is good. And that goes back to what we were talking about the commercials. Everywhere you look, Satan is out trying to make everything look wonderful in our sight. And not only that, he's playing with our minds and trying to make us think that many of these things that is so sinful, he's trying to make us think that it's okay. You know, that it's just all right for us to do this maybe, you know, and pretty soon you fall right on into his deception. You fall into what he's trying to do to you, and that's deceive you. And he is really good at it. He wants people to see things that are bad as they are. He wants us to see them, that they're good. You go back to Adam and Eve in the beginning. See? Serpent, what did he do? He got Eve to think that this was the way to do it. This was fine. He's going to do that to us too. In Revelations 12:9, he says that Satan is to deceive the whole world. He's out trying to deceive everyone that's in this world today. He's doing his best. He's just trying to deceive those that are in Christ, those that are trying to do his word. And you know what? He went and tried to deceive Christ, didn't he? He went to him. He tried to deceive Christ. So you know, if he would go after Christ, for certain he's coming after us. Satan is trying to deceive us every which way we turn. Let us look on. Satan tries to deceive Christ. What about neglectfulness? Neglectfulness. This is one of the devil's lures that he uses quite often, and that is, in our Christian life, we are to neglect doing certain things. He likes us to neglect in our attendance. We talked about that last night. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly. You know, he does his best to cause us to be neglectful from time to time, whatever it might be, whether it be a job, you know, that we might put first, or whether or not it might be a pleasure trip, or whatever it is. Satan wants us to realize that it's okay to just do part of what he's telling us, but, you know, you can ease by. God's not that bad. God's a great God. He's a God of love, and he'll overlook. No, God is a God of love. God cares about each and every one of us, but we must care about him. We must show that love back towards him. in our attendance. We need to be very careful. What about James 1:27 about visiting the sick? This is something that Satan wants us to be very neglectful in. There was a long sick list tonight read before us. And we know that it would be very helpful if we give them a call and talk to them occasionally. You know, when somebody gets sick and down and out, especially some of the older people that are really struggling to get by, just a visit, a little hello or how you doing, or a card or something. That's part of what is a duty of a Christian, to show our love to the brothers and sisters. So many people think that a Christian life is just, it's all about me. I'm serving the Lord, I'm going to do this and not worry about the others. But a Christian life is about yourself. You to work out your own salvation. But a Christian is a reproduction of the life of Christ in the human heart, and Christ loved us, each and every one of us. Certainly we should love our brothers and sisters and visit them when they're sick. And he says in James 1:27, that's what we're to do. What about teaching the lost? Matthew 28:18-20. Won't read it, but we know that he tells us there to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. This is a responsibility of each and every one of us. You say, well, you know, the women say, well, you know, it's a man's job to teach. No, it is in the pulpit in church. But each woman has a responsibility to teach also. You know, the scriptures tell us, if the older women are teaching younger, better raise the children, bring them up to help in the home, to be keepers at home, to look after that, but to teach others. We all have a responsibility to teach. Each and every one of us is to let our light shine. What our light shining means, that we're to teach others. Not only just by the way we live and the way we act, but we are to tell others about Christ. Of course, it's real important that we live a life that's an example. While others we're around, we can be a big influence on them. But how many times do we let friends that you have out in the world go by and never say a word to them about Christ? Never tell them anything about this wonderful promise that we have in obedience unto Him and being a member of His church. It's a big responsibility, but Satan is wanting us to be neglectful in that. And that's one of his baits that he'll use on us. Be careful. All of us have friends. I know this. In my life, have let some good loved ones that I loved outside the church that were friends of mine that passed away. One of them was 49 years old. I went hunting with him. He was a wonderful person to me. I never said anything to him about Christ. It really bothers me because he's gone now, and I know he's lost. See, Satan had a hold of me and kept me from saying anything to him. Satan will do that to you. He'll get a hold of you and spread that neglectfulness all over you, and you'll just be quiet. You need to be very careful about that. Satan can do it to you. Think about it. How would you like to be at the judgment and you see your friend and you hear the Lord say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, and there you stand. He says, you never mentioned him to me. Then we sing a song about that. We sing a song about that. We all have a responsibility. You know, some do a lot better than others. There's so many a lot better than me, and there'll be some better than you, and so forth. On this Sunday, I have a wonderful talent in teaching. But every one of us has a responsibility to teach. Teach God's Word. Don't let Satan use this neglectfulness on us, his bait. Be a good example. In Matthew 5:16, he tells us that we are to be a good example by the life that we live. Live a life that is pure and good. Another bait, greediness. Greediness. Oh, greediness has really caused a lot of people to get on the line. You know, they hooked up with the line, Satan's reeling you in, and if you're not careful, he's going to put you right in the net and throw you in the boat. Greediness, the love of money, the love of money. The love of money leads to many, many sins. In 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10, says that those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money, the desire, the lure to have the things of this world. I want to be quick to say, nothing wrong with having things in this world. Nothing wrong with having possessions and good things in this world. What is wrong is when these things become our main desire, and that's what Satan is wanting us to do, be greedy and want all this stuff for ourselves and forget about him. That's what he's after. We need to be very careful. He'll lure us into thinking that money and possession are the purpose of this life, and that's not it. When the devil gets a person to be greedy and be covetousness, he's made a catch. What about selfishness? People who are selfish don't worry about others. That's one bait that he uses. Yes, he wants you to love yourself and not worry about others. Satan wants you to just put all the emphasis upon you. And when a person gets you that way, then he's got you. Selfishness. Now, I don't, in John 13 and 35, it says, by this shall all men know that they are my disciples if you have love one to another. See, I go back to that, what I said a minute ago. Christian life is not all about oneself. It's about us as a family. It's about us caring for one another, loving one another, being kind to one another. See, we wouldn't have a friend in our life if we were not big enough and gracious enough to overlook many of the mistakes that they make in life. Because I know I make plenty of them. And if my friends didn't overlook some of the mistakes I make, then I just wouldn't have any friends. So it's very important that we're not selfish, self-centered. We care about others. What about immodest dressing? I don't want to beat an old dead horse to death. I know we talked about this last night. But this is something that Satan uses. He uses it. He wants us to think that everyone else is wearing it, so it's okay. You know, it's much cooler. You know, that's one of the things they say. It's not my fault. It's others' lust. We talked about that. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. See, when you cause somebody else to stumble, it's your fault. You know, we're to dress modest. It's your fault because you caused them to stumble, and it's their fault too for lusting. So we need to make sure that Satan doesn't use this on us. In 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, it says, New King James Version, in like manner also the woman adorning themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Men also, as we say, are to dress modest. The point is this, that we are to let it not be the outward appearance. It's not the outward appearance. Satan is wanting you to think that it is. He's wanting you to think that you've got to look close to these others. Are you going to be looked down on? No. No. It's the inward person. The inward part. You're not to be a stumbling block. Here's another one. Moving on. Satan uses this. Grumbling. Grumbling. Devil, he wants us to grumble about the good that's done. You know, there's some folks that just, you can't please them. I know I've had some at work for me, and I don't care how much money you pay them, or how good you are to them, they still grumble, and they complain, and they fuss. It's always something going on. They're never happy. A Christian is a happy person, and we're not to grumble, not to complain, not to disrupt the congregation. We are to try our best to be a good, quiet, sensible type person. That doesn't mean we turn our back on sin and error and don't speak up when we see something that is wrong. No, but we don't murmur and complain. 1 Corinthians 10 and 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Grumblers, grumbling, complaining, when that takes place, Satan has got you hooked. He definitely has. The devil goes fishing. Let's look at this, what we went over. He has a large fishing area. He's everywhere. Everywhere he goes, you can't get away from him. He's there everywhere. It doesn't matter where you go. You can go to the Waffle House and sit down, and there's something going to come up that'll catch your eye or whatever, and he's there. You, just anywhere you go in this life, you know, the thing that Satan's trying to do to get us to sin. Maybe it's something you think. We can be by ourselves, and he's there trying to cause you to sin. Think about it. He's got a large, large fishing area. He has the best equipment. Oh, he's got some of the best equipment that money can buy. Uses the best bait. Oh, he can do it. He can get you right on the line, and it's dangling out there. He's got it. That bait is ignorance. It's laziness. It's deception. It's neglect. It's greediness. Selfishness. Immodesty. Grumbling. All of these things are in his tackle box. And believe you me, his hooks are sharper than any hook that you can find on the store shelf. And if we're not careful, he'll set them right in us. And we'll be jumping and kicking and swimming, trying to get away. And all of a sudden, the net, you feel it coming up around you, and you're in the boat, in Satan's boat. But there's one thing about the old devil. Here's one thing about him. And this is so true. The one weakness that he's got, see, when he goes fishing, he can't stand it if he doesn't get a nibble. Now think about that. If Satan doesn't get a nibble on the line, what's he going to do? He's going to take off. He's going to be gone. He has overcome him. It says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That goes back to what we were talking about. The mind. Fill it full of this right here. And when you fill it full, there's no room for Satan's bait to influence us. There's no room for him to get his hooks in us. He'll flee from us. And we can go right on rejoicing. And that's what he's talking about. A Christian life is a joyous thing. It's a happy thing. We're so happy when we can overcome. That's what Paul was talking about. Oh, what a blessing it is to overcome these things in the world. All these trials and tribulations. You know, we're all going to have sickness. We can't do away with that. That's just part of it because of sin in the beginning. We're going to have that. There's going to be trials and tribulations. Sometimes it's money problems. Sometimes it's church problems. There's all kinds of problems that's going to happen. There's family problems. But when we overcome that, and we fill our minds with righteousness, and we live the right kind of life, what a joy it is. What a joy it is, and that's what makes us strong, when we overcome. When we're able to overcome and get away from Satan, resist and stop. Stand against. What does flee mean? Flee means vanish, escape. He's going to get away from you. The devil will flee from you. Think about these words. Watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave and strong. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. It says then in Matthew 25 and 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, in the everlasting fire. prepared for the devil and his